Our scripture reading this morning is Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And if you're using the Pew Bible, that's on page 46. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery, and they cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew.
Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to continue from where John read there in just a moment. Exodus chapter 14, if you have a pew Bible, that's page 56. This past week I was thinking about this lesson and thinking about our theme for Vacation Bible School of the wild, wild wilderness. And a memory came to my mind of about this time in the summer, 9 years ago. I had to do a little bit of math, and I had to figure out how long it's been, but it was about 9 years ago. And I know that because it was the summer in which Caroline and I moved to Kentucky when I started my work at South Green Street Church of Christ as an associate minister. This would have been before kids. We were still relatively young in our marriage and still learning each other and learning about marriage. Well, that's a lifelong process, but the learning curve was a little bit steeper back then than it is now. And it was a hot summer, and you know, on a weekend when you don't have kids and hot summer in central Kentucky, there's only so many options. And we had just lived in the area for a couple of months, and I thought, you know, on this particular Saturday, let's go do something neat and fun. Let's explore the area. You know, no matter where you live, there's something unique and interesting about that area. And I thought, you know, today would be a good day for us to go to Mammoth Cave National Park. Now, if you've ever been to Mammoth Cave, that's a really neat place to go. And going to the caves in the summertime is a great idea because the temperature is always the same, no matter what time of year it is, when you're that far underground. Well, brilliant Blaine, instead of going to the caves, said, well, we should go hiking that day. And because there's a lot of beautiful areas to hike at Mammoth Cave as well, outdoors. And I'd done a little bit of research, and I found this one particular hike that wasn't too long. So I was like, you know, it won't be too strenuous in the hot summer weather, and plenty of trees would serve as shade and canopy from the sun. And this one particular hike said it had a waterfall. And I was like, how neat would it be? You know, here I take Caroline on a relatively short hike. It was just supposed to be about a mile or two, and take her to this beautiful waterfall. You know, what a good romantic husband I am. And so I told her, you know, this Saturday we'll get up and we'll go hiking around, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and we'll just hike for a little bit and see the area and might see a neat thing or two, and then we'll do lunch and we'll call it a day. Great plan as far as Blaine goes. And so we get there, and I can't remember if I downloaded it online or if I actually went to the visitor center, but I had this map. It showed you exactly from, it said, you know, you are here, and you go this way, and you go that way, and then there's the waterfall, and then you continue, and you're, you know, done, and it's a great day. And so I told Caroline, I was like, here's the plan. She's like, okay. And so... By the way, before I say anything else, I asked her this past week as well, how do you remember that day? And she's like, what day are you talking about? I said, you know, the day we went to hike at Mammoth Cave. Oh, the day you got us lost. That's how Caroline remembers the day. We start hiking, and we go this way, like the map said. We went that way, like the map said. And then we get to a place, and I look, and the path was evidence that not a lot of people had been this way in a while. But that's where we were. And I thought, well, you know, we just go this way and we take a left here and there's going to be this waterfall. So we did this, we did that. There's no waterfall. It's like, well, you know, maybe just something's not quite right. And so we keep walking, we keep walking. We walked for quite a while. As in like 5 hours. That mile or two hike, I don't know how much distance we actually traveled. By the way, I told her it was going to be a relatively short hike, and so we both just had like a 16-ounce plastic water bottle. And we started to get pretty thirsty. And then we started to get pretty hungry. Caroline never told me this at the time, but she was already making preparations for where we were going to camp at night because she wasn't real sure where we were ever going to make it out of the woods. So this journey that was supposed to just take a mile or two, just a short little while, ended like late afternoon. Thankfully, we came across some people on horseback. They seemed like they knew where they were going, and they directed us the right way out of the woods. Now, to this day, in my defense, Caroline says, I got us lost. I didn't know how to read the map. I don't have a good sense of direction. I don't always have a good sense of direction. I do know how to read maps. This is Blaine's defense. The map was not drawn to scale. That is my defense to this day. And I will die saying that that map was not drawn to scale. Now, we laugh about that today, and then I'll be honest, it never quite reached the point where we were I was not highly concerned yet. It was getting to a point where I was like, where exactly are we? I will say this, it was beautiful. Never saw the waterfall, but it was beautiful. The wilderness is a beautiful thing. No matter where you might be, whether it's East Tennessee or Central Kentucky or other parts of the world that we might call the wilderness is beautiful. It shows God's creation and the power of what he's done through his hand. But the wilderness can also become a very scary place. Our story, fortunately, ended on a humorous note. But there are a lot of tragic stories I could tell about people who went into the wilderness and never came out. The wilderness is beautiful, and sometimes exotic as it can be, can also be a terrifying place when you begin to wonder. The story of the Israelites from Egypt to Canaan is one about the wilderness. And I'm sure there were things along the way that the Israelites stood in awe at what God was doing. But it also became a place that was terrifying at times as well. The story of Israel as they went from Egypt to Canaan is a true story. That's what we're going to be talking to our kids and the adults and teenagers this week about. But this morning I want to remind us that this story is also our story. It's our story about how we go about this life and how we travel, how we journey. And whether or not at the end of it all, we're going to let God lead us. The first point I want to make this morning is that God leads us into the wilderness. God leads us into the wilderness. I think this is a point about Israel's journey from Egypt to Canaan that we often overlook. I think a lot of times because of some of the things that went wrong along the way that we automatically associate the wilderness with Israel's sin and Israel's rebellion. Well, the wilderness itself was exactly what God had in mind. The passage that John read for us in Exodus chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, as the Israelites, they groan, they yearn for God because of the bondage that they were suffering by Pharaoh's hand. And that passage ends by saying, and God knew. God knew everything that was going on with Israel. God knew his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God also knew what he was going to do. And God knew that he was going to lead his people by his servant Moses into the wilderness. If you want, you can look at Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. I won't read that at the moment. But there it speaks of God telling Moses to tell Pharaoh, you know, tell him you need to go out into the wilderness to worship me. God had intentions from the very beginning for the people to go into the wilderness. Then you get to Exodus chapter 14, and you see that God is doing something that nobody at this moment is comprehending because they've been traveling a bit into the wilderness. And then they get to a place where they wonder, where exactly are we? Why has God led us into this place? And here's exactly what it says. Exodus 14, starting verse 10. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. As you keep reading, you'll see exactly what it was that God did. And we'll talk some about that with our kids. When God parted the Red Sea. But up to that moment, what was Israel's attitude? As they see, here on one side, we have water that we cannot cross. And here to our rear, to our backs, are the Egyptians, the armies coming after us. And they look to Moses and they say, what have you done to us now? We had it a lot better in Egypt. By the way, how short term of a memory did these people have? Didn't we tell you this was going to happen? You're here because you were groaning to God in the first place. God has answered your prayers. Now He's leading you, and now that He's leading you, you already want to give up and turn back. God knew exactly what He was doing. God was leading them. God was about to do things before their very eyes that they could never imagine. And maybe that was part of their problem, is their imagination. Maybe more appropriately, their faith was just too small to see how big God could be and how great His leadership and His guidance could be. God knew what He was doing. God was leading His people into the wilderness. God had plans for them. The wilderness, yeah, it was beautiful and exotic, but there were things that were scary as well. I'm here to tell you today that we are currently in the wilderness. Now, I'm not talking about the year or the culture or anything like that. I'm talking about the world. The world is the wilderness. This is not the promised land. There are things about the wilderness where times get difficult. And yes, there are even threats that might seem there on both sides of us. And we wonder, what is God doing? I'll tell you what God's doing. God's leading us. I don't always know, just like the Israelites at this moment. I don't always know what He's going to do next or what direction we might go, I might go. But I know that if I follow God, He's going to take me along the right path. I've just got to follow and trust Him and not give up. And not whine and complain. That's one of the most dominant themes of the Israelites while they're in the wilderness. When they were in Egypt, what did they do? They groaned, legitimately. God said, yeah, what Egypt and Pharaoh are doing to you, that's not right. And I'm going to deliver you. As God begins to deliver them, even in this moment, what do? They groaned, they moaned. They whined, they complained. He was asking them to follow Him in faith. As you keep reading the story, and we'll look here in a moment, they keep groaning and moaning and whining and complaining. This is the wilderness. You sometimes might ask yourself, well, why would God ever lead His people into the wilderness? Well, there's a lot of different ways to answer that question, but I'll give you one very accurate and I think good summary of why He led the people into the wilderness. He's testing us. If you don't believe me, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. There in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' way of recounting Israel's history. He now has his generation that are aging and dying off. that will not inherit the promised land, but he's also got the younger generation that will inherit God's promises. And he wants to remind them of everything that they've gone through and remind them of where they are and what they're about to inherit. But one of the things that he says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, he says, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." What's Moses make clear there? God has brought you into the wilderness partially to test you. Why would God test us? To know what was in our hearts. Now, God knows what's in our hearts already, doesn't he? I think largely when God tests us, he does so to show us what's in our hearts. Sometimes we don't know what's in our own hearts until we face certain tests in life. And that's when our true colors shine through. Or don't. Now, if you think that's not fair, I invite you to read Matthew chapter 4 or Luke chapter 4. There was a rather significant person there, our Savior, who was led into the wilderness. Why was he led into the wilderness? Well, he's going to go toe-to-toe with Satan, isn't he? And who was it, as you read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, that leads Jesus into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. God. Now, that might not seem fair or right. But you know what we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 10, going through verse 18? It says that the things that Jesus suffered while he was on earth, those were the things that perfected him. Not in the sense that it made him sinless, he was already sinless, but the things that Jesus suffered, yes, even the ways in which he was tempted and tested, made him complete, made him mature, qualified him to be our Savior. And part of those things he suffered and experienced were those 40 days in the wilderness when he was face to face with Satan. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 tells us that when we are tested, we give an opportunity to show the genuineness of our faith. The question for us is not whether or not we are going to be tested. It's whether or not we're going to answer the test. And are we going to pass the test? And are we going to continue to let God lead us even as we travel through the wilderness of this world? Because this isn't the promised land. But we are traveling. Now the question becomes, leading us to point number two, if God leads us into the wilderness, what about the wandering? Well, we lead ourselves into the wandering. We lead ourselves into our wandering. God had a purpose and a plan for Israel as they traveled from Egypt to the promised land. And I will tell you this, that plan was not for Israel to spend 40 years in the wilderness. They spent 40 years, but that was not God's original plan. And again, I think that's one thing we often get confused about when it comes to the wandering in the wilderness. You see, they weren't wandering for a while. In fact, if you want to, you can turn to Numbers chapter 13 and 14. I'm not going to read all of the details of Numbers 13 and 14 because that especially is going to be looked at one night of Vacation Bible School. But you will see there, this is the story of the 12 spies. Where are they spying? They're spying Canaan. They're spying the promised land. They're looking to see what is it that it's going to take to possess the land that God has promised us. We are 2 years, less than 2 years, into Israel's travel in the wilderness. In less than 2 years, they are already on the cusp of Canaan. They're almost home. The land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This past week, I mapped out on Google Maps, how long does it take in miles today to get from Cairo, Egypt to Jerusalem? Just as an estimate. By today's roads, if you were to take a car and travel from Cairo to Jerusalem, it would be 487 miles. That's a relatively short trip by car. But I want you to think about if you were on foot. If you were on foot, even with maybe a million plus people in a big caravan, how long do you think it would take to travel 487 miles? I know it wouldn't take you 40 years. The slowest among us would not take 40 years to travel less than 500 miles, even by foot, even with a large group of people, even with babies and older people. They were there in less than 2 years. Just to give you an idea of what man is capable of, last summer, 2015, a man set the record for the fastest journey by foot on the Appalachian Trail, a little less than 2,200 miles. He did it in under 47 days. 46 days and like 8 hours, 9 minutes. He averaged 47 miles a day. Man is capable of some pretty fast travel even by foot. Now, in a large caravan, you wouldn't be doing it that fast, but you wouldn't take 40 years. So why did it take 40 years? You read Numbers 13 and 14? It's because the people didn't trust God. They had whined, they had complained, they had moaned, they had groaned, and now God, even in spite of all that, He says, here it is, guys. Come back, tell Moses everything that you see. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they said, we see the promised land. 10 of them, they saw giants. An impossible task before them. The reality was they all saw the same thing. They saw a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there were some enemies there. But Joshua and Caleb, they knew, if God has told us this is to be ours to possess, let's go take it. And so you get to Numbers chapter 14. And the 10 who said, no, we're too small. We're not strong enough. We're not big enough. We don't have the means to possess Canaan. Their voices won over the majority of the people of Israel. And God finally said, that's it. If you don't think I can follow through on my promise, this land will not be yours. And so based on the number of days that you've been spying out Canaan, that will be the number of years in which you will just wander aimlessly through the wilderness. That's really a sad story. 38 more years. This generation of God's people, who had all of His promises waiting for them, they traveled nowhere. Oh yeah, they went places, but they got nowhere. God leads us into the wilderness, but we choose whether or not we're going to wander while we're there. We choose whether or not we're going to be lost. We choose whether or not our lives are going to have purpose and direction. But God all along the way saying, just look to me. Nehemiah chapter 9, if you'll turn there. Nehemiah summarizes Israel's history. And in part of that summary, he talks about what happened while in the wilderness. In the testimony of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 9, starting verse 15, is God's faithfulness even as the people wandered. Verse 15 says, you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and you told them to go in to possess the land that you had sworn to give them. But they and our fathers acted presumptuously and stiffened their neck and did not obey your commandments. They refused to obey and were not mindful of the wonders that you performed among them. But they stiffened their neck and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and did not forsake them. Even when they had made for themselves a golden calf and said, this is your God who brought you up out of Egypt, and had committed great blasphemies, you and your great mercies did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud to lead them in the way did not depart from them by day, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way by which they should go. You gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. What's Nehemiah saying? God's people led themselves into wandering. But you know what God was all along the way? God was faithful. God was looking after them. God was taking care of them. He didn't give up on them, but he also allowed them to experience the consequences of their wandering. The question for us today is, while we're in the wilderness, are we going to let God lead us? Or are we going to choose to go our own way? The truth is, all of us at some point have chosen to go our own way. We have all wandered at some point. Once we start wandering, do we get back on track with God and see his faithfulness? Well, that generation, outside of Joshua and Caleb, they would not get to step into the promised land. But the next generation would. And that leads us to our final point, that God takes us beyond the wilderness. God intended for his people to go through the wilderness. God led them into the wilderness. Their choices resulted in their wandering. But even in spite of those choices, he still fulfilled his promises. And he saw to it that Joshua and Caleb's generation, and the two of them and the generation after them, they got to walk in. They got to receive God's promises. Again, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses tells that generation some of the things that they are about to inherit. The promises that God always had in store for them, in which their parents' generation just couldn't really see for themselves. He says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Who did all of that? God did. God says, "This is what I'm going to do for you. You didn't do this. You didn't earn this. You didn't deserve this. But here's everything I've got in store for you, and I'm going to take you there. You've been in the wilderness. Now receive what's always been promised to you." Do we believe that God can take us beyond the wilderness? I'm afraid there are many people today whose faith is shaking, whose foundations spiritually are crumbling, and who don't know which way they are going anymore because they have confused the wilderness with the promised land. This is the wilderness. And if this was the promised land, how sad of a story that would be. The question for us is, have we placed our hope in something bigger and better than the wilderness? And do we believe in a good God who fulfills all of his promises? Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 are an encouragement to that generation of Christians who knew their ancestry. One of the things that the writer of Hebrews says is, don't be like that generation in the wilderness who failed to believe, to put their trust, and who failed to obey God because they just couldn't imagine God could be that good. Are we like that generation ourselves? Lost in our way because we forget that the promised land is yet to come. I want to close by reading Isaiah chapter 43. You will notice on the t-shirts that we are wearing this week that this is the passage on our t-shirts. Isaiah 43. This is another generation, not the generation that traveled from Egypt to Canaan. But it's also about a generation that was in the wilderness. And some of them too probably doubted what's going to come of all of this. Isaiah 43, verse 18, says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. I am doing a new thing, God says. I'm making a way in the wilderness. You know what God has always done for his people? He's made a way in the wilderness. We just have to follow. And if we do, we will get to experience in full the things that he has always promised. This morning, if you are lost in your way, if you are wondering, if you are without purpose and without direction, there is only one way. That's Jesus. He is the way. And he will lead us through this wilderness just as he went through the wilderness himself, went toe-to-toe with Satan and defeated him. Not just the 40 days that he was tempted, but ultimately when he defeated Satan by dying for us on the cross and being raised by the power of God on the third day. If you truly believe that and live with that belief leading you, you never have to worry about the wilderness because the promised land is always already ours. If you need to come to him this morning in baptism or come back to him because you've lost your way, please do so while we stand and sing.